So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe.
Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A.
Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
'18 was the first year since the 1950s that Wisconsin farmers could legally plant and harvest hemp. Time to ask, was it a successful crop? What lessons were learned? To explore these issues, I want to thank Patrick Robinson, Associate Dean of UW Extension's Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and Brian Parr, an agronomist for Legacy Hemp. Legacy Hemp is a for-profit company that provides seeds and works with farmers to revive the industry. Gentlemen, thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
End of the first growing season, and since the 1950s, overall success, not as successful, just overall thoughts before we get into dive in a little deeper. Patrick?
I would say that a lot of the headlines that I've read have called it trial and error, and I would say that's pretty accurate. A lot of farmers out there were trying something new. As you said, it hasn't been here in a long time. Right. And it was a real good learning experience for a lot of folks. You know, anything new like this, any new crop, there's some trial and error involved. So I would categorize it as a trial and error and an opportunity to apply some of the lessons learned from a trial and error process going into this next year.
Thank you. Brian?
I would agree with that. You know, I would say that we learned a lot. That's how I would comment for this year. I would say any farmer that you talk to, weather by far was the biggest factor to growing this crop, and we had a tremendous amount of wet weather, mm-hmm. Which is something this crop is not totally keen on. It's a more of a dry weather type crop. It likes to be watered but not overly saturated, and we unfortunately this year were extremely wet and caused some issues because of that.
Brian, I want to stay on that for a little bit. Up through like the 1950s, Wisconsin was at one point the nation's leader in hemp.
Sure.
Is that because our amount of rainfall and soil is very conducive to hemp?
Actually,
more than other regions? Excuse me.
Well, what I would say, if you look back in the 30s and the 40s and 50s, we were growing hemp for fiber.
Okay.
So this year's crop, fiber was actually one of the few things that wasn't grown for. We were growing for grain or for the CBD. Fiber is a very slow market right now. So I think that's a lot of where we look at this and categorize hemp as being hemp, where in fact we have the fiber, the CBD, and the grain. And unfortunately, you know, the fiber has just not made its comeback, whereas the grain, and particularly the CBD, has really kind of outshined at this point.
And Patrick, I think we should make it clear. When we talk about hemp, we're talking about a product with so little THC that it doesn't get someone high. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's right. So THC is the compound that we most characterize with recreational marijuana. It's the high producer, as you said. And the regulations are very clear. You have to have less than 0.3% THC concentration. So, yes, it's one of those myth-buster things that had to happen for industrial hemp to get footing.
Right.
And I think we've made major progress in the last 2 years even in sort of understanding what that means and understanding that industrial hemp is really a different product than when we think about recreational marijuana.
I think that's a very important distinction. I'm glad you made it. Thank you. Let's look now at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection year-end figures on the number of hemp producers and growers. So let's pull up that graphic. And so let's talk first with hemp growers. We started out with 242 who got licenses. That dropped down to 183 and then 139. Brian, do you want to talk about the evolution there, why that number?
Yeah, so some of the growers I've talked with, they were uncertain of how DATCAP was going to enable this as the years go on. Many thought there might be a limit to how many growers could be licensed. So farmers who knew that they wanted to grow at some point, they wanted to get licensed, but maybe they didn't want to grow in 2018, let the industry mature a little bit, and at least then they have their license. Because once you're licensed, at least with Wisconsin anyways, you're licensed for life until it's revoked.
Mm-hmm.
So that allows you to basically decide to grow at any time that you want to do that. And that's why we see the numbers being slightly different for those who are actually licensed versus those who actually grew a crop this year, just simply because of one thing or another why they didn't choose to grow in 2018.
Now let's look at the numbers from the Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection on processors. You have 99 down to 82. Good time for one of you to explain the difference between a grower and a processor. Ready?
I'll let Brian start, because this is really in the for-profit
sector
primarily.
Yeah, so processors are those who are either storing or basically manipulating the crop once it's harvested. So in our realm, we deal with primarily the grain portion of the crop. So what we would do as a processor is we would allow the farmers to harvest, and once they harvest, they ship their grain to us to store in a grain bin. From there, we can then manipulate the crop to either press it for oil or dehull the crop for hemp hearts. So that's essentially what we would be interested in doing. The CBD side would be very similar in the sense that those processors would extract the oil out of the plant material versus the growers who are just simply raising a crop and growing and harvesting.
Okay. Final numbers from DATCAP. Acres, 1850 acres were planted, 22.6 greenhouse acres were planted. Brian, you were saying this is much higher than in Minnesota. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, from the numbers I've seen with Minnesota, their very first year, which would have been in 2016, they had a total of 8 growers totaling 40 acres on their very first year. So this is kind of why there was some a little bit of hostility, I guess, with some of the growers in DATCAP, because we had such a short window to get licensed and get seed, get things planted, that DATCAP was just simply overwhelmed. I'm a firm believer that they did not expect so many growers on so many acres on the first year of implementing this program.
Do you think that's why DATCAP has extended the deadline for 2019 from January 1 to March? March 1st?
I think that plays a part of that. One of the other factors, and we've kind of been an advocate to extending the deadline, so we've been a bug in their ear, mainly for the fact that we're going out trying to convince farmers to look at what they want to do for next year. And when you think of farmers, most of the planning process for the next year's crops happen over the winter time, not really at the end of the season. And being so late of a harvesting year like we've had, a lot of farmers had other crops still in the field. They just didn't want to think about the new coming season until the old crop was already harvested and finished. So,
Patrick, extension agents went out and talked to farmers around the state. I think you did one of the presentations. You're mm-hmm. certainly your agents. You've talked to them.
Yep.
Talked about the process by which our farmers were told, this is hemp, these are the rules and regulations, lessons learned, and is the educational process going to change as we approach the 2019 growing season?
That's a great question. So, yes, the first part was very basic. Sort of, what is this new thing? What are the real limitations around growing it, or what are the real opportunities around growing it? I think the very first panel that I'm aware of, certainly the first one I participated in, was one in Eau Claire,
yes.
And we had standing room only. I mean, people were very interested in finding out more. And you could tell from the questions there, it was very much sort of like, tell me about the feasibility of this crop so I understand whether I should invest. Mm-hmm. And then, as we said, there was a lot of trial and error this year. Our educators across the state of Wisconsin, about 60 educators across the state of Wisconsin, have been doing a variety of different educational programming for producers around the topic of hemp, and it was, I think, very much introductory the first year, trying to understand what the opportunities are.
Just the basics, the ABCs?
The basics of it. We have to really look at research based from areas surrounding us, because it's new in Wisconsin, so we don't have much Wisconsin-based research anymore to lean on. So this winter, more of that will continue to happen. We often partner with folks like Brian in delivering those educational programs, so both public and private sector. And then I think over this next year, what we're going to see is us really trying, in the extension side, the university side, trying to really understand better what those research questions are that we need to dig into. You know, we're going to make some assumptions about hemp being here for the long term. And so we have some basic research questions we need to start digging into now related to what does it mean to grow hemp again in Wisconsin, in this climate, to really, you know, position things for success. There's also a whole bunch of research that needs to be done or could be done around the processing side of this. Mm-hmm. There are definitely things we can learn from other areas in the country, but there's opportunities for research around processing here that I think our university partners can play a big role in.
Which regions of Wisconsin are more conducive from a soil, from a precipitation standpoint to growing hemp? Or is the whole state fertile for potential hemp growth?
I would definitely like to hear Brian's opinion on this, but from what I have learned, it's if you can grow other crops,
right,
it's an area where you probably can grow hemp. It likes good soil drainage, but like other crops, we're looking to areas where we have had success with other crops. That's likely an area we're likely to grow hemp. If we go into the forested areas of northern Wisconsin for the same reasons that other crops are limited, I think you may run into some challenges, but I'll let you expand, Brian.
Well, Brian, you're based in an area that used to do a great deal of tobacco production.
Correct.
Has there been do you think there will be a switch from tobacco 20 years ago to hemp, or am I overstating it? Is that too simplistic?
No, actually, I think that's why a lot of farmers in my area, in particular the Driftless area, are looking at hemp because there are still a lot of...
Do you want to explain where you're based and out of?
Yeah, so I'm actually based out of Lafarge, Wisconsin, which is Vernon County, very southwestern Wisconsin, and Viroqua, Wisconsin was a very large area
for tobacco.
A hub for tobacco,
excuse
right,
me.
Yes.
It's your region.
Yeah,
you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's all right. It's a hub for tobacco. It used to be, anyways. And there was a lot of tobacco growers, a lot of tobacco sheds. And many of those tobacco sheds are still standing and still, we can think of them as tobacco sheds, but they're really drying sheds is what they are. So it works very well to dry industrial
hemp. The exterior moves to allow the... come in and dry. Excuse me, I'm interrupting you again. Go ahead.
No, that's the way those barns were built is that they are not, the boards on the outside of the buildings had about a half an inch spacing so that they allowed the wind to blow through basically naturally and dry the crop hanging. And we see that those buildings will work very, very well for the CBD hemp. So the grain is completely different than how it's grown for CBD. And this is, I think, where the education really is going to play a part, because one of the biggest questions that we get with farmers who really know nothing about this crop, which are many of them, they don't understand the difference between how to grow this crop for fiber, for CBD, or for grain. And they are all three different. And the CBD in particular is very different than the fiber in the grain hemp. So the CBD, I like to explain to farmers, is very, very similar to tobacco. In fact, those who have ever raised tobacco, raising CBD hemp is almost identical. Those who are looking to do grain or fiber, it would be very similar to any other small grain crop like oats or barley or wheat. So we're using modernized equipment, commercial equipment like grain drills and corn planters, combines, whereas with the CBD hemp, like I mentioned, it's very similar to tobacco. We're hand planting on small acreage, 1 or 2 acres. We're watering this with irrigation, drip line irrigation, or any type of irrigation. We're harvesting by hand. We're hanging in drying sheds like old tobacco sheds and things like that. So it's far, far different to grow CBD hemp than it is the grain or the fiber. And
this is important. So when a farmer would come up to you or your agent and say, "Yeah, my grandfather, great grandfather grew hemp," that was hemp for fiber?
That's
used for what? Ropes and what?
The much different sort of need for fiber back in that day, right? So yes, I mean, I think there was a whole host of products that hemp was used for. Rope was one of them. But that market's changed so much now that some of that market is, I mean, some people, I've heard everything you can imagine in terms of hemp uses moving forward. How much of those will really prove practical is yet to be seen, but some of those markets have moved in other directions obviously over that time period. So there are new things that people are looking at, and as Brian said, that's exactly what our educators are hearing in the field as well. People are learning that it's not a one-size-fits-all when you talk about growing industrial hemp.
Okay.
So that is part of the challenge we face in Wisconsin, because the industry has been gone for a while.
Yeah.
In our state itself, we don't have the same processing and market infrastructure. We have for-profit companies thankfully working on that, but it's not fully there yet. And so some of that learning process is still going to happen as we match the growth with the market that is the most profitable for the producer. And that's where some of the trial and error came in, is people thought they were growing for one thing, started doing it, and then realized like that actually wasn't probably what they should have been growing for.
So just to be sure, we used to produce hemp for fiber. Mm-hmm. The name of the game now is grain and CBD oil, mm-hmm. and that's a big change.
Yep. Yes.
What happens to the fiber now in Wisconsin's crop? Is it just destroyed?
We actually do have a market, a small market for the fiber right now. The machines that they use to basically strip the stalks of the fiber are called decorticators. And right now, as far as I'm aware, there are only two in this country, one in North Carolina and the other is in Nebraska. They're very expensive machines, well over $1 million machines, and the margin, the return on investment is very slim. So it takes a very long time to pay for these machines. And you know, most of the fiber market right now, particularly in the clothing market for hemp, is being made in China. And you know, for a lot of the same reasons that our electronics and other products are being made in China so cheaply, it's very tough for us to compete economically on that same market. So right now there's a better opportunity for processors and growers to grow grain hemp or CBD hemp and actually make some money. I do believe that the fiber will come on board here slowly but surely. One of the big avenues that never really used to be part of the fiber is the idea of hempcrete, these building materials that are made like concrete used with hemp fibers to make different types of materials to build buildings or build structures. That's something that's really kind of unknown about, or very, very seldomly known about, but it is a very large potential in the market.
Did we used to build buildings with hemp fiber?
As far as I'm aware, not really.
And are we doing so now on a very limited scale?
It's very, very, very small, yeah.
Can I ask this question just as an overview? Did Wisconsin farmers who grew hemp this season, did they make money? Did they break even? Did they lose money? Just a statewide statement without any specific, obviously, reference to specific farms or farmers. Overall.
I would say overall, most probably did make money.
Did they make what they were hoping to make back in February, March?
Probably not. For the grain crop, and this is really where the education part's going to come in, is that the weather that we saw this year was really problematic for a grain crop, and really it was
your
problematic.
Region got what, 14 more inches of rain than normal?
Yeah, it was roughly 15 inches more than our average rainfall, which was unbelievable. And so when we take a crop, let's just say compare this to oats, barley, or wheat, a small grain crop, because I do feel that hemp for grain is very similar to a small grain crop. Those small grain crops usually do not like a lot of wet weather. They need water, obviously, to grow, but the type and amounts of rain that we received this year were just disastrous. And the problem that we had, where we lost the grain crop this year, was in September. When we had all the wet weather in September, we saw a lot of disease pressure come in. In fact, we had even grain sprouting on the seed heads before the combines could roll to combine that grain. It was just so stinking wet that farmers couldn't get out there. And that it ultimately led to the demise of the crop and inability for the farmers to make much money.
Use demise of the crop. Is that your statewide assessment?
I would say for the grain, yes. The grain had a very tough time. And the reason I say this is that when we think about where this crop is adapted and where it was developed, most of these varieties are coming out of the southern plains of Canada. Very dry climate, very low humidity, and we bring them to a new region that we have no knowledge about how they're going to grow, like Wisconsin. Typically, we're not this wet or this humid of weather, but we saw kind of the extreme of what could happen taking a crop from its adapted zone and taking it somewhere we have no idea whether it's going to survive or not. We had a good-looking crop for most of the year. Early season weed pressure was tough because of the early season wet weather. But like I mentioned, the late season wet weather is what really caused the crop to be non-profitable because it started sprouting, because it started molding, And our market right now, the only market for the grain, is for the human consumption, the food grade portion of things. So there, we have to meet certain standards as far as molds and yeast and bacterias to even be consumed by humans and put onto the grocery store shelf. Most of the grain did not meet that quality standard. Now, when we look at the CBD hemp, the CBD hemp was a little bit different. It actually survived and fared fairly well in the same conditions because the genetics are different. How they make these high CBD varieties is they're taking hemp varieties and crossing them with marijuana strains to make these high CBD, low THC varieties. Most of the marijuana strains that are out there are grown indoors in very high humidity, very more humid environments, more rainfall environments that would be acceptable for the type of weather that we had this year.
Is Wisconsin leading in this type of research, or is that being done in other states that have a longer history with hemp?
Well, being the first year in Wisconsin here,
we haven't done that.
It's far to be done yet. So.
Well, Patrick, you and your agents are more, you know a lot more the second year than the first year. Mm-hmm. But are you hearing that there's might be less interest in growing hemp because of some of the problems Brian just talked about? Or do you think interest will remain high? You had standing room only at your first Hemp 101 session.
Yeah, it's really hard to predict that for me from where I sit and to sort of gauge where it's at. And what we'll do in extension and continue to do is we just really, we don't try to promote do this, do that. We try to provide information about what your options are and do the best we can to provide objective, fact-based information around what folks' options are. So we'll do that through this winter season again and try to help people understand the kind of things we're talking about here today. And then where that decision-making process is going to end, I can't say that I have a great read on that. My guess is that industrial hemp is here to stay at least for a while. And because it's so early that people don't feel like they've gotten a good handle on what the potential is yet. And I'll tell you, just in our university extension world, we're still in a reactive state too. I mean, we're trying to really get our feet underneath us and make sure that we're doing a good job of forming an educational response.
Yeah.
Plus, as extension, we also have a co-investment in faculty members at the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. And we've got questions there about what are the research questions that we need to learn more mm-hmm. about. You just asked about CBD oil and research opportunities there. That's just, you know, it's only been a year, so we're still trying to ramp that up. So. Hard to predict for sure, but I don't think it's going away.
Well, here's a question. A farmer that is watching this show mm-hmm. who thought about growing hemp last year but didn't and is thinking again, is this a possibility for 2019? How can she or he get information, the basics on our second hemp growing season? Should they go to the Extension website or you'll be... How can they get enough information to make a growing decision for 2019?
That's a great question. So I would say that a great starting point is contact your extension educator that's locally located. There's pretty much every county in the state, not every, but if not nearby, you'll have an extension educator you can contact. That's a great starting point because you can get that one-on-one input. And then we're trying to ramp up. We do have some web resources that those extension educators can help direct folks to as a next level of information. And we are actually right now doing our own internal planning in UW Extension to figure out how we better respond this next year. We're going to be doing some things to really enhance our response so that people have better points of contact.
Was Extension surprised at the level of interest in growing hemp this year, early this year, last winter?
I think a little bit surprised and also really trying to be thoughtful about being responsive. I'll tell you this, in my role, after that rule was passed and it was clear that DACAP was going to be producing rules related to the rule, my inbox exploded.
Okay.
I got a lot of hemp inquiries very quickly. So, that was a little surprising, and it really, what I take away from that is, okay, the folks of Wisconsin need us, now it's time to respond.
Well, okay, Brian, you get a call from a farmer. I was going great until 14 inches of rain in September washed me out. I lost the crop. Tell me why I should be interested in growing hemp in 2019, please.
Yeah. So I've had plenty of those conversations.
Bet you have.
You know, the biggest thing that I can say to a lot of these farmers is that this crop is working in other states, and we have to just take a look back and step back to look at really what our weather was this year. We had unprecedented type weather, and even starting with the spring. We had a very late spring. You know, your region over by Green Bay received almost 2 feet of snow at the end of April. Mm-hmm. And almost most of the state, in fact, had snow cover until the 1st of May, which is really unheard of even on a regular year. So now we start late because of the snowfall, that it doesn't go away until May 1st. Farmers are behind planting crops already. Crops that they know, right.
They've been planting for decades.
Now those are being delayed. We get into a rush of now looking at another crop that we know nothing about yet. We did have some problems with, particularly in my area, with seed corn maggot. We generally are avoiding those infestations because the timing of when things are being planted. And this year, I personally feel that the delay in the spring because of the snowfall caused the timing to be just right. And when we were planting hemp, we were planting into an infested ground, basically. And
so your basic answer is Mother Nature may go back to average rainfall. Give us another shot.
Absolutely.
In 2019.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've only got a few minutes left. I want to turn to something that just happened. The Farm Bill that Congress just passed, and the President's going to sign it if he hasn't already, says that hemp can be grown nationally. So the implications on that for Wisconsin, I guess my question is, will now that it's okay nationally to grow hemp, will more Wisconsin farmers be interested or less because there'll be national competition? I realize the Farm Bill just passed. I think it's 480 pages, but just tell me where you possibly what might happen in Wisconsin's industry. Patrick, your thoughts?
Those Farm Bills are thick documents, and we're digesting exactly what it means now. I think it's a positive step for folks interested in growing hemp. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The exact way that legislation, or the way the Farm Bill will dovetail with our existing Wisconsin legislation, the work of DACAP, is still a little unclear, so we'll have to work through that. But the implications of having now a national framework, mm-hmm. One of the questions that I think we still don't know the answer to is sort of how markets and production of hemp, how that's going to play out over time. You know, at what point do markets become saturated and actually suppress the value versus be able to really take the product that's being produced and get value out of it? It's honestly, from what I see, where I sit, it's a very much an unknown. It's a new world order. There's a lot of people trying to develop some markets. That's exciting. But it's a little tough. I don't think I have the right crystal ball to be able to predict that yet. But it does change the framework for us.
Brian, your thoughts on the national
implications? I guess I'm more optimistic about it. I guess I would say that for the growers, I do foresee more growers having interest in this. And one of the reasons why is that we had several growers this year who were turned down by their ag lenders because their lending agencies were not willing to allow them financing to grow this crop because it was still on the Controlled Substance Act. So those issues go away. I feel like the biggest potential is on the processor side. You know, America is one of the leading countries in consuming industrial hemp products. And the same kind of concept with the growers that I just mentioned who weren't able to get financing, if processors are also unable to receive funds from their bankers because of a venture that they're doing solely for industrial hemp products. Many of them may have been turned away or just kind of put on the back burner for now. And I think this opens the doors for more businesses to receive funding for projects of really exploring
That's
the processing
point.
Side.
That's a good point.
So, it is a good point. I heard that same concern. Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up this way. Overall, hemp still has potential 2019 growing season in Wisconsin. Patrick?
I think that we're going to learn a lot more this year.
Thank you.
Hopefully less error, more trial.
Brian?
I sure hope the weather is better. If we have even the same number of growers growing this crop in 2019, as long as we have a better weather pattern and are more conducive to growing a good crop, that will lead to better things, better research and test results. Versus being kind of skewed with the poor weather that we had. So I'm very hopeful that 2019 is going to be a good season.
And have either one of you, Madison Brew Pub just announced they're adding CBD oil to
I heard
beer. Have either of you tried it?
I haven't tried it, no.
But this points to what an innovative issue we have here with hemp. With hemp. Okay.
Yes.
I want to thank Patrick Robinson of UW Extension, Brian Power of Legacy Hemp, for coming in to talk about a very interesting first season with Wisconsin Growing Hemp. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.